This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. There's an outbreak of bird flu going on in Indiana right now. The strains aren't a real danger to people, but this is still a very big issue. There was an outbreak in the United States in June of last year. Nearly 50 million turkeys and laying hens had to be killed back then, and the price for a dozen eggs doubled in some places. The economic cost to poultry producers was enormous, so that has put farmers across the country on high alert. Tanya English went to see the precautions East Coast farmers are taking to avoid an outbreak.
It was migrating wild birds that first brought a particularly deadly avian influenza called H5 to the United States. Protecting poultry starts with monitoring those wild birds. They settle down on wetlands, defecate, drool, and generally spread their germs around. Waterfowl that feed on the surface of ponds carry bird flu, but often don't show any symptoms.
When we're looking for the needle in the haystack, the high pathogenic avian influenza virus, we want to look in the right haystack, and dabbling ducks is the group of birds we're targeting.
That's wildlife biologist Larry Hinman. He's part of a federal effort to test thousands of birds. Hinman works for the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and he's also a hunter.
I'm Tanya English.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for doing this. How did it go this morning?
Slow, cold and slow.
Yeah.
The government is gathering DNA samples from dead birds bagged by hunters like Hinman.
What's exciting is seeing them is fooling them, getting them within gun range, you know, either by using your calls and the decoys and the weather conditions to your advantage. Duck hunters will tell you it's a magic moment. That's what most of us appreciate the most. But when you see ducks, you want to give them what they call a high ball or come look at me type call. Everything's cool over here. There's food over here.
The morning we met, Hinman downed a dabbling duck called a green-winged teal. Then he spent the rest of the day working. We drove around the eastern shore, meeting up with other hunters and their dogs, hoping to find black ducks or mallards to test.
Randy.
Hey, how you doing?
Have any luck?
I don't have any ducks for you.
Dang.
Not a damn duck. I wish I did. I got three empty shells.
Biologists plan to test the ducks through the end of the winter migration.
We record the vial number, the date that we sample, the location.
But so far, there are no signs of the bird flu that kills domestic birds. Still, agricultural experts have stepped up biosecurity, just in case. Every producer is supposed to have a plan to keep infectious disease off the farm, and those plans are part of a national system. One of the security checkpoints along the way is at Penn State University's Animal Diagnostic Lab.
Well, what we need to do first is be able to get on some protective clothing, because we don't know where you've come, and we don't know where you're going to go after this.
Professor Mike Hewlett wants to show me the birds his team is raising. But you can't get into any chicken house these days without first disinfecting your boots and putting on blue paper pajamas.
So I just put these on over my boots and up over the bottom of my pants.
And then a hairnet. And then we also have some gloves.
They call this booted and suited, is that right?
That's right. We're ready to go out and look at some birds.
The agricultural school grows demonstration and research hens, roosters, and the broiler chickens that end up on the dinner table.
Trying to make a good product and help feed the world.
Before companies send their meat birds to market, they send saliva and blood samples to Penn State for testing. Ruffled feathers or odd-shaped eggs often mean a bird is sick. But the H5 bird flu is so fast-acting and contagious, farmers can often miss those signs.
So one of the biggest symptoms that they had was mortality.
And they're dead. That's the first thing you notice.
That's the first thing that they found out in Minnesota and Iowa.
Reaching down, Hewlett grabs a bird and holds on while he swirls a cotton swab in its air pipe. It's kind of like when you go to the doctor for a throat culture to see if you have strep throat. Penn State checks the sample to see if there's live active virus in the bird right now. Hewlett also needs some blood, so he sticks a vein under one wing and the chicken complains a bit. Different from the throat swab, the blood test detects antibodies left behind as disease works its way through the body. And that gives veterinarians a snapshot of illness circulating in an animal 5 or 10 days ago.
Really what happens, a chicken becomes a virus factory. I'm Bill Brown, I'm the poultry extension agent with the University of Delaware.
With his beard, his ball cap, and his sturdy body, this guy is literally Farmer Brown. He grows his own chickens and teaches new agricultural practices to family farmers. He also reminds them about biosecurity. Unless you have real business on the farm, farmers prefer that you kindly keep out.
Absolutely no visitors. You all are an exception because we feel like the risk or the advantage of educating the public is worth having you here today.
Brown works on Delmarva, a peninsula made up from portions of Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. It's a tiny place, but the poultry industry is huge. Brown says it only takes one mistake and a bit of infected chicken poop on your shoe to move bird flu from one farm to the next. The chickens leave virus behind in the dust and dander, and it gets on farm equipment and people.
I'm Charles Postles.
What do you do?
I'm a farmer, raise poultry in Milford and Delaware.
Postles and other family farmers contract with big companies like Tyson Foods and Purdue. He has 90,000 birds just about ready to go to market. There's a lot at stake, and he's not letting me anywhere near his chickens.
I mean, you see how many chicken houses you've seen going up and down the road. It's a very much more concentrated industry, and so we're prepared, trying to be as prepared as we can.
There's no vaccine and no medicine to cure high-path avian flu. If biosecurity doesn't work, depopulation is the primary way to stop the disease. That's what happened last year when 48 million birds had to be killed in the Midwest. Postal says the industry across Delmarva is ready to respond quickly. If there's an outbreak, there are 4 machines on standby just for this region.
It just makes a foam layer about 3 feet deep and it euthanizes the chickens. It's very quick, and then the birds are composted within the house. Then they cook. I mean, that composting raises the temperature to usually over 140 degrees.
That kills the pathogens, and after that, the farm operation has to sit empty for weeks. That's big money on the line. The industry on the East Coast has had some luck, and farmers aren't taking any chances.
We're not out of the woods probably until March. A lot of opportunity for this thing to explode yet this year.
Tanya English reported the story.